Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Wilmslow Methodist Church Cafe Church. You've been very brave coming in and sitting at low tables and having coffee. Wow. Good to see you all. Anyway, welcome to you, boys and girls, everyone, this first Sunday of Lent. And welcome to all those who are listening to the recording, our friends at Carr's Court. You don't have to wait. If you're new or visiting, you don't have to wait to the end to have a drink and make yourself known. You can chat straight away and we'll find out who you are. A couple of notices. There's a leak in the gents' toilets. I'm sorry to be bringing up that sort of thing, but I've been told to announce it. So do be careful if you're going in there. I have a card, a thank you, from the Foodlink people at the other end of the Foodlink scheme at Colshaw Farm Estate that we support, and it was particularly relating to the effort for Christmas. And an Annis who runs that end of things said, we supported the scheme which helped 52 families in the run-up to Christmas and 22 immediately after, in early January. And she explains that the people who come to us are usually facing a number of difficulties. Sometimes they've lost their jobs and are waiting for benefits to come through. Working families on low income and homeless people. Homeless people, there is accommodation in the estate for homeless people. And so all your efforts in supporting the food link, the basket that's out there in the foyer, is doing a wonderful job. And she thanks you very much indeed for that effort and trust that you'll continue to support it. Well, thank you again. Wonderful to see you all here. And we're going to hand over to our minister, Katie, who's going to explain what we're going to be doing. Thank you, Katie.
Well, hopefully most people heard as I came in. Just got two more minutes while we get people to bring the drinks in. So those appetizer questions, I hope you've had chance to have a look at. Most unusual meal, perhaps, that you've ever had. Most memorable time with friends over a meal. So two more minutes. Help yourself to cake. There is spare cake at the back if you run out. And at any time during the service, if you want more tea and coffee, just go and help yourself. We'll hopefully have a teapot full and coffee there. So two more minutes to chat through those questions and then I'll take us on to the next moment. Thank you. I will explain, you don't have to have given up cake on a, because Sundays you're fine. Yeah.
Am I sitting in someone's chair?
No. Yeah. There's seats for you. There's seats. Oh, obviously.
Did you know there's a fat-free cake suitable for you?
Yeah, thank you. I'll eat afterwards.
It's
yeah.
At the back anyway.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you. But yeah, the children have sort of just. They've sort of. They might partly want to be. Okay, I'm going to interrupt the conversation. The one of those three images with the like communion images. There's one with people round table.
But they're not in chronological order.
No, it's near the beginning. Doesn't matter if not. Okay. One of the challenges for me, I'm going to have to do song and dance at the front to stop the conversations at certain moments. There's going to be plenty more time to chat. But, you know, table fellowship is really important. You know, the table is an important place in the home, and it has particular, you know, relevance in cultures, different cultures in different ways. The table is a place of fellowship. It's a place of gathering. It's a place of invitation, where those who you love, you invite to worship. Those who you wish to know more, you invite around your table. We certainly, in our Methodist tradition, we call this table an open table where all are welcome to come and gather in communion. We know that table fellowship was important for Jesus. There's 10 meals recorded in the Gospels of Jesus spending time sat round a table. And it was really significant that he took that time to spend time around a table. It was about intentional relationship. I want to know you. I want to know you more. A table can be an expression of invitation and love. You know, today, it's our anniversary service today. And rather than focus on the past, whilst we will give thanks for it, rather than focusing on the past, we thought about what we might do that's looking forward, trying something new. Cafe church is a form of worship that's used in a number of churches now. In Brownlee Green, which is part of our circuit, they have cafe church every single Sunday. It's their normal way of worshipping. In Style, for 6 months, it's been a monthly service where people have enjoyed the chance once a month to be able to, rather than listening to me speaking for ages and ages, you know, for example, the reading today, some of you will have heard for at least 50 years, some of you more, you know, you would be able to have plenty to say about, you know, the service. So one of the things, you know, we're just trying this today and, you know, they're learning things already about how we get going. But it's just a chance to experience something different and experience table fellowship in a new way. During the service, there are bits of information and there are questions, but it's not a quiz. You do not have to answer all of the questions. There are largely no right or wrong, you know, answers to the questions. They are just prompts for conversation. But we're going to just begin with some sharing with some words from the Psalms that will be on the screen. So if you can manage, hopefully you'll be able to manage to see from where you are. We're just going to let Anne work through my pictures. Hopefully there are some words there from the Psalms, Anne. They're on a slide. A number of pictures there about Jesus sharing there, of course, with communion. And if not, Anne, if it's disappeared, it should be near the beginning. Don't worry, I'll share the psalm of praise for you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Behold how good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High. We're going to sing three verses from a familiar hymn, one which does help us to look back and give thanks at an anniversary Sunday. Well, and have I read those three? Let's read them again and share in them this time. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Behold how good and pleasant it is
to dwell together in unity.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Amen. So we're going to sing the first two verses and the last of Lord for the Year. So if you can't see the screen, it's number 470. There's a couple of hymn books, or you can collect more. Will it be easier to remain seated, or do you want to stand to sing? We're going to remain seated then. If you want to stand, stand. But if you're on the front two tables, if you do stand, move to the side so that they can see. Lord for the Years, let's sing. for your deep love. We thank you for calling us into ever deepening relationship with you, a relationship in which we know your healing, your forgiveness and grace, a relationship of love through which we can flourish and grow. Help us to share that same fellowship with others, finding time to invite, to spend time listening and sharing and growing together in your love. We thank you on this anniversary Sunday for this church family, for all that we are able to share within this place. We thank you that we might continue to grow in your word, that we might continue to grow in confidence so that we can invite others to come and know your love more deeply. We ask your blessing upon us as we continue to share in your word and in your love. Accept our thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just before the next conversation, a little word about Lent. Some of you will have picked up the Lent leaflet a while ago. And I heard somebody saying, you can't give us cake, it's Lent. Well, about 600 years ago, the church decided that actually asking people to fast for a solid 40 days was too much. And so what they did is that instead of starting Lent on Clean Monday, as it was called, which would be tomorrow, if you start tomorrow, you've still got a full 40 days. But instead, they retreated back to Ash Wednesday so that every Sunday would be a free day. So you're okay, Howard. Eat away. That's where the question came from, so that's why I picked Howard. So the idea was that six Sundays actually became a focus instead of resurrection and of the feast to which we look forward to. Lent itself began as early as the 4th century of the church. And initially, it was a time of preparation for people wanting to be baptized, and baptisms took place on Easter Sunday. So they had 40 days of preparation. Then they also started, you know, for people who'd really put their foot in it and done something terrible, they decided it'd be good for them as well, because they would have 40 days of fasting and then they'd be welcomed back into the church. Fortunately, we don't do that anymore, but people began to realize, actually, it's quite a good period of time for us to stop and reflect and prepare to celebrate Easter. You know, there used to be a fast before Christmas. There used to be 40 days of fasting before Christmas. And people eventually started to, the celebrations started to creep in earlier. Initially, you'd fast, and then the celebrations would start on Christmas Day and last until February. But because we began over time to erode the fasting time, and the feasting started earlier and earlier and earlier, by the time you've done Christmas Day, you don't want any more feasting. But Easter we've managed to maintain, despite the chocolate egg world trying to break the fast early. We have actually maintained an idea of fasting. On your little sheet, there's some information, and I'll just read it out to you. Little bits of information about Lent. Lent, a fast that comes before the Feast of Easter, began on Wednesday. 40 days of Lent do not include Sundays, feast days. Or you can begin today, or I think it's tomorrow. Well, it was originally 40 days from today to Good Friday, or you could do Monday to Easter Saturday. In Lent, we're invited to let go of some of the distractions, busyness, habits, entertainment or food that might hide our need for God. Fasting increases our appreciation of the Feast of Easter. Giving up something good creates longing and in the end a greater sense of joy and thanksgiving for those gifts, It can make us aware of what we have and increase our awareness of the need to share with others. Traditionally, people gave up food and focused on confession. Today, people often take up reading, reflection, and or acts of compassion. And actually, one of the things of these 40 days, the next slide, Anne. Michaela Youngson, who's the president of the Methodist Conference this year, is joining up Living Lent. And so in addition to a time of prayer and study and reflection, and a few of us are using a Lent book and meeting in various Lent courses, some people are taking up Living Lent challenges, for example, using an alternative form of transport. Somebody suggested I dust my bike. Giving up single-use plastic, or giving up electricity for an hour every day, or buying nothing new. So some people take on other challenges through Lent. Doesn't matter if you haven't done any of those things. But what do you think about Lent? How have you used Lent in the past? There's 6 questions there. Again, not a test. You don't need to use them. But they're a prompt for a conversation of 5 minutes around the theme of Lent. Over to you. And you can munch cake as you talk. Okay, right. I'm going to interrupt conversations. Don't worry if you didn't get to question 6. As I said, they're just a prompt for conversation. And I prefer to have a bit more time talking about the next part a little bit later. But are there any questions? Are any of the questions that you would like answers to? Or any comments about it?
I was quite surprised by number 6 because I'd never related the word Lent to the Italian or Latin Lente.
Yeah, it's...
Is it linked?
Yes.
Is it linked?
Yes. Lente is... It's a time to be slow, a time to reflect, a time to grow. So it's... You know, it's about inviting us to be kind to ourselves as well. You know, the idea, it seems to be all about self-denial and beating ourselves, but actually it's a time to slow down and reflect and grow as well. Any other questions or comments from groups? Yeah.
Well, between us, we're intrigued by the dangers of Lent.
Yeah.
And Emma was doing a really good thing of actually, instead of giving something up, she was giving something away every day.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, lots of different things that you can do, giving things away or giving things up or you can take things on or do things. Lots of different ways of using Lent now. But the dangers of Lent are, if you set yourself a huge amount of tasks, I always used to use Lent as my one opportunity to try and be the perfect person I wish I was. And of course, I always fail every time. And you know, you can also end up feeling guilty because you're not achieving, or feeling bad about yourself because you're not doing. So that's one of the dangers of Lent. The other danger that, you know, if you actually do it, I'm really good, you know, so actually it could just be that you're bolstering up the ego, you know, during Lent. So those are a couple of the dangers of Lent. But, you know, today people have, you know, it's your time to decide how you use it. But, as, you know, if it starts inducing guilt, give it up. Let it go. You know, if it starts making you feel proud, then actually that's not what it's about either. So it's just being aware that those can be the dangers of. Any other thoughts or questions? Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Joan.
I feel proud of myself when I'm able to open a jar or anything else that's very hard, because as all of you know, over an age, it gets very difficult to open things. So, yes, I feel quite proud when I open.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well done. Yeah, and it's, there's sort of, you know, there's sort of different types of pride, aren't there? And actually, it's really important to say, yeah, well done. Yeah, and actually, sometimes it's really hard to just get up and out, isn't it? You know, and even with physical fitness, sometimes we just don't, you know, and actually, if we can manage to set ourselves a little tiny step for the day and we can do it, yeah, absolutely, we should, you know, say, well done, I managed to do that today, that's really good. So it's sort of a different elements of... Right, one more, and then we'll move on.
I also think it's a good idea to almost introduce our faith to others, because in a way we can say what we're giving up. So in the Muslim, obviously, religion, they have periods of fasting and everybody is aware of that, but we don't tend to be too, what would I say, it's not obvious maybe what we've given up, but maybe to explain, and it's a way of introducing our faith.
Yeah, thank you. It is a great opportunity, isn't it? If you're saying no to chocolate, said, oh, why? Well, actually, it's Lent, you know? You also find that people in the community practice Lent without even, you know, church. But it can open up, it's really a good opportunity to open up a conversation. So thank you for that. Okay, we're going to, just going to pause before the next chunk. And, you know, as we journey through Lent, we remember that we're doing this with Jesus as our guide, and we place our trust in him. So we're going to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd." If you want to stand and stretch your legs, you know, you might like to do that. "The Lord's my shepherd, I will trust in you alone." The Lord's my shepherd, Thou art one. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. Joshua and Livia, you're going to come and join me in a challenge. What I'm going to do in their temptation test is to ask which of the two following things on the screen you would be most tempted to go for first. So of the two things, if it's the one on the left, you have to come to the left. And if it's the one on the right, you have to come to the right. And you might actually point to the right if it's the one on the right or one on the left. So, ready for the first one? Oh, I've got to click it. I wasn't ready. Right, chocolate or chips? Oh, chocolate wins. Yeah, how many? Quite a few people agreed with you there, right? Next, tempted by crisps or chocolate? Oh, crisps. Lemonade or chocolate? Pasta or pizza? Oh, split camp. Orange or apple? Oh. Ice cream or chocolate? Chocolate's coming into this a lot, isn't it? Oh, oh, split one there. Two, you can't, John, you can't have two hands up. Cereal or toast? Oh. TV or computer? TV. A few, oh, split on this one as well, aren't we? Exercise or watching TV? Yeah, you see, I haven't moved. Well done. I think we're going to need to move on to the next section. Brilliant. Then, you know, temptation, you can stop it, you'll be able to watch the pictures from where you are. You know, temptation is about choices. Choices of this or that, you know, and they're not necessarily bad things that, you know, are, that we might be tempted to. We remember on the first Sunday of Lent the story of Jesus being tested in the desert. The number of temptations, for example, being tempted to turn a stone into bread because he was hungry, or being tempted to take over the whole kingdom in an automatic sort of way, or tempted to throw himself off the temple in order to impress and get everybody to follow immediately. Temptation is in every story we read. Do you know, anybody, what storybook it is? Yeah, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I can't remember. I know that Augustus Gloop was tempted by the river of chocolate, which he ends up falling into. Mike TV, I think, ended up in the TV somehow because he was tempted, wasn't he? I can't remember all the others. But every story has temptation. Turkish Delight?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yes, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Temptation at the heart in that story as well. And Frodo? Yeah, Lord of the Rings. Or in The Hobbit. The, you know, temptation, if you look practically every single story, there is temptation as part of it. We know in the reading that we come to that Jesus chooses God's word to help with dealing with the temptation. We're going to turn to that reading now. On the screen we will see a picture of the temptation in the wilderness by Rivieri, the artist. But we're going to turn to the main course and our reading. When Jesus returned from the Jordan River, the power of the Holy Spirit was with him, and the Spirit led him into the desert. For 40 days, Jesus was tested by the devil, and during that time, he went without eating. When it was all over, he was hungry. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are God's son, tell this stone to turn into bread." Jesus answered, "The scriptures say no one can live only on food." Then the devil led Jesus up to a high place and quickly showed him all the nations on earth. The devil said, "I will give you all this power and glory to you. It's been given to me and I can give it to anyone I want to. Just worship me and you can have it all." Jesus answered, "The scriptures say, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Finally, the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on top of the temple. The devil said, "If you're God's son, jump off. The scriptures say God will tell his angels to take care of you. They will catch you in their arms and you will not hurt your feet on the stones." Jesus answered, "The scriptures also say, don't try to test the Lord your God." After the devil had finished testing Jesus in every possible way, he left him for a while. So over to you. There are a number of questions about that reading. There are, if you want to go a bit deeper, there's three quotes in relation to that reading. As I mentioned before, not a quiz. Don't need to answer them all. What do you think about that reading, and what might it teach us for today? Over to you. We've got 10 minutes to discuss. We've got already got one question to be asked, Gwyn. Jane.
Well, we were having a discussion about why Jesus chose to stay in the desert for 40 days, and 40 days was our question.
Thank you. People think that the 40 days reflects the 40 days of journey through the wilderness. And when people, you know, crossed through the Red Sea, they had 40 years of wandering and reflecting and discussing and growing. So that's the main example, and almost the parallels given of the crossing, going through the Red Sea. Jesus goes through baptism and then into his 40 days. They went through the Red Sea into their 40 days. So the parallel is given with that. There is other symbolism with 40, but I need to go and do my homework to find out. Yeah, so, sorry.
Thank you. I've been reading the Gospel again, and I've noticed that, obviously, Jesus talks about the devil tempting people in general. And my question actually is, do you think nowadays we do think enough of that? We talk a lot about the love of God and God is there for us, etc., etc. But when you think of knife crimes, people do it, they don't seem to think that they're doing anything wrong, and that they, if they're caught, they'll go to jail and that's their life sort of ruined, really.
Well, first of all, as I've noted at the on one of those sort of questions, people read the Gospels in different ways, and you know, most people sort of, you know, today reflecting on this reading, you know, think of the sort of temptations not by a little red man, but by the temptations, you know, the thoughts that Jesus would have had. You know, anybody who goes on an 8-day silent retreat or a 16-day silent retreat, you know, the first couple of days might be really great and really relaxing and lovely, but the longer that you stay in silence, the more things come up, bubble up from inside that you might not even like to have thought. And you have to work through all these different things that are part, maybe just part of our human nature, you know, or challenging thoughts. So, you know, it's quite likely in this reading, and people do read it literally, and actually there's no right or wrong way. That's your choice. But people, you know, the tendency now is to reflect on this reading as thoughts coming up that are, if you look at the little passage by Richard Rohr, you know, he describes those as the sort of the three primal and universal temptations that all human beings face, you know, before they take on any kind of power. Those are things that are constantly, you know, we're constantly being faced with. You know, misuse of power on the everyday issues, on political, religious sort of power. He calls them the constant tragedies that keep defeating humanity. Now, the source of those, again, there will be different people's views on. But actually, it's something important to recognise, isn't it, that we all face temptation every day. And actually, temptation can all those things will look good. I mean, it could have been great for Jesus if he just said, yeah, give me the power now, save me going through all that agony and all the difficult challenge. So on some level, temptation always looks good for what I want now, but the question, is it good for everybody else? Now, I haven't got a specific answer to you, but accept that actually, yes, all the time, everybody's facing temptation. And actually, it's how we teach people to respond to it is a really important thing, isn't it? But I'll go just take it that far for today. Okay. Other questions? Yeah.
Just the point, really, that we were just discussing, the final note made by Bishop Wright, it's when you're at your weakest, when you're at your most vulnerable, that you are tempted to do all sorts of idiotic things. And it's there that we need to trust in God, because, you know, out of our own strength sometimes, we can't cope with situations. And here is the lesson, really, to put our trust in God to get us through situations that, in our own strength, we may not be able to handle.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, one of the ideas about, you know, why he spent 40 years in the desert, you know, it's like a training time. You know, if you can, if one, you can work through all of those issues, then you're strengthened to deal with them when they come up. You know, in any work, if you were looking at a big project, you would work through all the potential pitfalls that might come, and you'd work out ways in which you might deal with them in case they come up. You know, for Jesus, having that time of reflection is a strengthening time. Yes, there's the weakness of being in the desert, but also, you know, I guess even if at least once a year we create and sort of strengthen ourselves in the discipline of prayer and reading, that might help us a couple of months later when you know, we're particularly facing challenges. It's strengthening us for the difficult time. And, you know, sometimes we go through real crises and really difficult things, but if we've got that tradition of just spending some time in prayer, that, and we keep praying, even though it's tough, even though it feels absolutely impossible, if we keep going and keep praying and keep looking to God, we will find the strength that we need. So there's something about building up a discipline of prayer and study that will help us, you know, when we are at our weakest as well. Other questions, comments from that? No? Yeah.
Now, I'll just make one sort of comment. I think we've used the word Jesus being tempted and temptation, and we talk about that quite a lot. I think I also see it perhaps more the word preparation, and this idea that Jesus is at this stage and age in his life, thinking about what is my life all about, where am I going, and it's that pause to take stock. So it's almost sort of like a rhetorical question to us, when do I actually stop and think, what's the point? What's purpose here on earth? What's a life? And I guess for many people that might be, first of all, at teenage years, starting to think, prepare for these sort of questions. What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to make of it? And I guess that comes up time and time again thereafter. But I think this stop, prepare, actually take some time out, or how often, as a rhetorical question, do we actually agonize about that? What's the point?
Thank you. You know, there is a tradition which is beginning to come back in Methodism, which other churches are perhaps a bit better at skilled, and it's called spiritual discernment. You know, when facing big decisions in life, to actually meet with somebody, to take a few days out, to actually pray through, you know, and help discern and plan for what's next. You know, Jesus gives us great examples, doesn't he? Going off to find some space alone. He does that numerous times recorded in the Gospels, to go to time to pray to God, to think things through. And, you know, and if we're going to do something big together as a church, you know, it's good that we spend time together talking and praying and thinking in the same way before we, you know, we launch into things. You know, a couple of years ago we had our sort of vision thinking day, and it was great, just, you know, about 35 of us actually set a day aside just to go away and think those things through. It's a good pattern for us. Now you can keep, we're going to move on, but we're just going to pause and sing All I Once Held Dear, Knowing You, Jesus. And it's a hymn that reflects on some of the things that, you know, sometimes tempt us to be the priorities in our life. But when we know Jesus, you know, we place him at the heart and the center. Oops. To this sort of last section and a time, you know, of prayer, just two different options. If you wanted to, and you don't have to, the idea of making a Lent cube, and on the different points of the cubes, maybe to put three focuses that you want to concentrate on in Lent, but also three aspects that you might like to pray for during Lent. Or you might want to use it as a prayer cube and write things for people to pray to. So as you're talking, you might want to do that. You might want to ignore it altogether. Entirely up to you. And there are scissors and glue available if you want to do that. And if there aren't enough on some of the tables and some of the young people want to do, I'm sure you might have to pinch some from the other tables. But there's also just a heart on the back. And just have a chat now in your table or in pairs or however. Any concerns as a group that you have, things that you just like to pray for, you might want to just drop them in the heart. You might just want to talk, and then we will just pause and pray together. Okay. Up to you how you use this time to just maybe share prayer concerns together. Joshua, do you want a prayer cube? Oh, you've got some there.
Keep writing and cutting and listening. It would take us too long to actually go around and invite people to name prayer. So I'm just going to invite us. names that you might have written on that card or the people that you have mentioned at your table. So let's just pause for a moment. That we can come before you in prayer, that you hear our prayers, that you hear the cries of our hearts. In this silence, we hold before you all those whom we have named around our tables. We hold before you, Lord, those who we know who are unwell at this time. We're asked to continue to pray for Keith Barlow, one of our church members undergoing treatment, who's asked for the prayers of the church family. We ask that your healing hand will be upon him, that he will know your love enfolding him and strength for each day. We pray for all those living with anxiety and uncertainty, that you will grant them the strength that they need for each day and an awareness of your peace. We pray for our nation at this time of political turmoil. We pray for wisdom and we pray for grace between different views. We pray for some of the issues facing our nation and we pray for all the families of those affected by knife crime. We pray for all the youth workers and people in schools trying to support young people, particularly in difficult circumstances. We pray, Lord, that we might be equipped to discern and have the strength to make good choices. We ask your forgiveness and grace where we have faltered, where we might not have lived according to your ways. We pray that each day we might grow more in tune with your ways of love and peace and justice and compassion. Help us during this period of Lent to know you a little bit more deeply each day, that we might share your love through how we live and reach out and be able to respond to those in need. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of being family here. We thank you for your love. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
going to sing our final hymn, Longing for Light. And just before, we're not having coffee after the service because we've had it as part of the service. You know, you don't need to rush off. There's, you know, if you want to stay and chat for another 15, 20 minutes. But at about 12:15, if anybody is able to help clear everything back, that would be great. And also do feedback, you know, to us, your thoughts on this service. We already know that we need to adjust a little bit how we begin, but I hope you've enjoyed a taste of Cafe Church. Also, one other thing just to say, we won't do offering as normal, but there will be a plate at the church for a retiring offering. So we see longing for light, Christ be our light. And I'm going to perhaps even encourage, shall we stand to sing this one? And perhaps you might just want to stand in a space. If you need the hymn book, it's number 706. 706. Jesus, we ask that your light might shine into our hearts, that it might be reflected through the ways in which we live. We pray that your light will continue to shine through our church family, to all those who come into this place every day of the week. We ask that we might go with the joy and the strength of your blessing the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I'm just going to ask Emma, forgot to give Emma a chance to give one piece of notice. If you'd just like to have a seat, Emma's got a Lent bag to show for anybody who would like to take it as you leave. Better for you to explain.
Okay. I've just done, with the help of the lovely Chris Goddard, who, even though he's not here, has been helping, we've made some Lent in a bag activities for each family to take, one per family, if that's okay. And in it's got some things to reflect on. So you'll find there's a little bag of sand and a stone and a candle and a little wooden person. And there's some recipes for making bread and some family activities as well. So even if you don't want it for yourself, maybe you've got a grandchild or a niece or a nephew who might be interested in doing it with you. You don't have to take one. There's no pressure to take one. But hopefully there's enough, as she says, hopefully, for one per family unit. So if you want one, I'll be at the door. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you. And also just one thing I forgot to show. Joshua and Olivia have been busy doing all sorts of things, but aren't these gorgeous? They're beautiful. So palm leaf and a cross looking forward to Holy Week. So they're gorgeous. Thank you. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed cake. And if you want to take away cake, there's more serviettes if you want to take one with you.